not like me to start late, but here we go. And let the games begin. Sorry, I'm late. I guess I was studying in the other room. So today on the agenda, consider this. What is the commission, and what can we expect a commission to be doing all day? A commission, well, that's an authority to perform various tasks and certain duties. So commissioners are performers? Well, no, not really, not performing. I mean, they perform duties, hopefully to the benefit of the county. After all, they're only a group of people charged with carrying out certain functions. My carrying a function is to carry out the garbage. Being a county commissioner, that should be slightly more romantic than that, but what do you know? Have you ever been a county commissioner? Have you ever been to a meeting? If so, what were they performing that night that you stopped by? Well, if they're looking for suggestions, I nominate Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. It resonates in such a setting, so let's perform that play sometime. The county stretches from here to there. It's a big place. But where do the commissioners fit in? When they sit in the big comfy chair and do the county's work, what do they do? How does it affect you? So let's see if we can find out what tasks await the commissioners, what authority they wield, and what authority that they issue edicts. They print ordinances. They revise codes. They prepare to fret their hour upon the stage of local governance where the commissioners are known to perform. And now it's the time that draws near for us to choose a commissioner. And you will be involved in that, so let the games begin. Who will be our commissioner? News Radio 560 KPQ, I'm Michael Knight. My very special guest is Bob Boogert. He's a candidate for the Chelan County Commission, position number 2. Bob, welcome back to KPQ. It's good to see you again.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
Since we talked last time, there's been a lot of water under the bridge.
Yes.
Is one way to look at it,
yes.
Anyway. How's your life changed since you announced your candidacy and then made it through the primary?
I've been busy, that's for sure. But I'm learning a lot, Michael, and it's really been great. I really have had a great opportunity to meet some really wonderful people in our community that really have a strong desire to improve our community and really contribute to our well-being.
It's something
been really gratifying.
Something that a lot of us don't do is go out and meet people and shake their hand,
yes,
and knock on their door.
Yes.
And what have you learned from the people that you have met about
I think there is a real commitment to the community. Certainly, growth, housing affordability, and just the quality of life issues that we face here are really important. Transportation is getting to be an increasingly important issue.
How so?
Yeah, well, that, as I'm sure you can tell, that there are key times during the day there that transportation is a little bit gridlocked.
Slower than we would like.
We're not quite used to that, yes. And so we've got a lot of issues related to planning for our future that we really need to start thinking about. And I think people really recognize that need.
Do the people of this county of Chelan, understand what the commission actually does and how they affect their life?
Interestingly, there are a number of people that really don't have a good handle about what it is a county commissioner does, and so that's been really good to have that kind of dialogue as well. And people really recognize the importance of local government as opposed to state and federal, that, you know, really this is where things can happen and we can really make some real progress in our work with the community to really make sure our quality of life is as good as it can be.
It's a little tough to legislate quality of life. You sort of have to be careful as you step around issues,
sure,
or some sort of a issue that would affect the quality of life.
Yeah. But I think there's lots of opportunities. As I said, there are folks that are very engaged in our community, and I have seen really some great opportunities for people to participate in grassroots planning efforts, such as Our Valley, Our Future, or the Stamil Partnership, or the Icicle Work Group, where you can really work at a very local level and get things done. And the county can support that. And I'm really very excited about having those opportunities.
You mentioned a couple organizations that I'm familiar with, like Our Valley, Our Future.
Yes.
When they come up with an idea or a plan or mm-hmm. some sort of a white paper where they look to the future in 5 years or 10 years as to what the valley might be or what it should be,
yeah,
how can the county commission help them with their findings?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that the county can do as far as actually seeking grants, seeking support from the state government and to make things happen at that level. And a lot of it is really coming up with that leadership and setting the tone at the county and to really to promote the partnerships then with local community groups, with the other governments such as the PUD, the port, the cities, to really have a coordinated approach. And then I think it's much more efficient, much more effective that way.
What do you find to be most effective? Yard signs, bumper stickers,
lapel
pins, radio advertising?
I really have benefited a lot and learned a lot and just feel really comfortable going the door-to-door doorbelling.
It takes some adjustment, doesn't it?
It takes time. It takes a lot of energy, but it has been very gratifying, Michael, to do that and really to see what people have to say and to learn from them and to really engage at that level there. So we're doing as best we can to get out and meet as many people as we can.
The reason I asked you about yard signs and bumper stickers, it's a big county when you have to get
yes.
around everybody,
yes.
isn't it?
Yeah,
and
yes,
awareness
indeed.
For everybody in the county is difficult to come by.
Yeah, and you know we're doing a lot of other community meetings, and this weekend is the Fiestas Mexicanas, and so we're going to be very active there. I was fortunate just last night to be at the Parque Padrinos event down at Metal Park, and to really meet a lot of people there. That has been really quite helpful for me. Yeah.
What happened at that event?
Well, it is really interesting. You know, that is, Metal Park is a really important area for South Wenatchee community and is really a convening area for people to get together to, really draw that sense of community. And there's a lot of effort now that's going on by the city of Wenatchee and with other organizations to improve that park. And I think that's the type of thing that is really great to see, because it really started as a grassroots effort, Michael, and it is really getting a lot of momentum. And that really spins off to a lot of benefits to our youth, to a lot of our underserved communities that really can be quite helpful. And I think that's a great example of what can be done throughout the county.
It's a good story, too.
It is a good story.
When does it move from an unsafe park?
Yes.
To a park now where families in South Wenatchee
exactly.
are using it regularly.
Exactly. Yes.
Let's talk about your background. How did you didn't really begin in politics, but you began serving the community with a concern for the area.
Yeah. You know, I am certainly have got a track record of working with community groups through the years, Michael. My background is, you know, I graduated with a bachelor's and master's degree in fish and wildlife biology. But I really found pretty early in my career that so many of the challenges that we have related to natural resource issues is people just don't communicate well. They don't see eye to eye. And so really the best thing to do is to bring people together and to really find that common ground. And then it's amazing that a lot of the issues that you think would be a problem all of a sudden are resolved. And I worked a lot with the PUDs in development of their 50-year agreement for operation of the hydropower dams. That's Chelan, Douglas, and Grant PUDs. And it was a situation where they were mired, frankly, in litigation prior to that. And we were able to bring everybody together, come up with a 50-year plan that's now incorporated into Douglas, Chelan, and Grant PUDs license agreement through the Federal Energy Regulatory.
It's hard to look ahead 50 years, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it took a lot of work on a lot of people's part, but it was a very gratifying work. And then
go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And then continuing on, you know, I worked then with Chelan, Douglas, and Okanagan counties with the Colville and Yakima tribes to form a local response to the Endangered Species Act. Same deal, where there's a lot of contention and a lot of disagreement between the tribes and the counties. But we brought them together and to find common ground. And now we have formed what's called the Upper Columbia Salmon Recovery Board.
That's quite an organization.
It is. It's very effective. And basically, it turned something that was a great source of litigation and conflict into now something where everybody's working together and finding common ground. And now it's an economic driver for our communities, because we are able to improve our sports fishing here and to really provide those opportunities now. And I think there's lots of opportunities like that that we can still do in the future.
Forest health. Kind of a funny situation where everyone was concerned about many things, but nobody was very concerned about the fish, which you can't,
yeah.
without the fish, you don't have the community to fish for them.
Yes, yes. And so really they were able to find that common ground. And I really am proud of the fact that I was able to participate very fully in that process. And I see those opportunities coming up now related to forest health, to some of our transportation issues, to some of our agricultural water supply issues that I know that we will need to be proactive about. And so I'm really looking forward to those types of opportunities.
And those items come before the commission time and again?
Yeah, I think, you know, the main thing is that the commission, a commissioner really sets the tone. I think that's an important responsibility, if you will, Michael, of a county commissioner. And the tone I would really like to set is that we can work together and we are better working together. And really to bring all the constituents and all the stakeholders to really look at some of our issues and find that common ground and to proceed then in a very collaborative manner. And I really enjoy that, and I think that is what I'd like to dedicate my life to.
This is News Radio 560 KPQ. Our very special guest is Bob Boogert. He's campaigning and is a candidate for the Chelan County Commission position number 2. We'll come back to talk more about this situation and his candidacy right after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com. The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
News Radio 560 KPQ, my special guest today on The Agenda is Bob Boogert. He's the candidate for Chelan County Commission position number 2. And we were discussing about how many people actually go to commission meetings, how many people have ever been to one, how many people know what goes on at a commission meeting. Do you think we have viable answers to those questions amongst our citizenry?
Well, you know, that's a great question. That, you know, they are open public meetings that the commission has every Monday and Tuesday. And many times that, you know, a lot of it is, the fairly routine business that the county engages in is setting out contracts for public works projects and doing things like that, that really to keep the lights running, if you will.
Items on the agenda.
Yeah, items on the agenda. But there are some, you know, key things coming up that the county has been very engaged in, such as the cannabis issue or the recent shoreline master plan, the process there, that to really draw the community's interest.
Let's talk about those for a second. Yeah. What's the shoreline project about?
Well, the shoreline master plan is, you know, part of state legislation, I think, back in the early 70s, and then it is a state mandate for the local governments to come up with a master plan for management of our shorelines there to provide protection for critical resources. And really, it is important, something like that, to have strong community involvement in that. And I think that is really imperative for the county to do that. And so to be able to really reach out to stakeholders to make sure their thoughts, their ideas, their concerns are adequately considered. And so the county has been in the process of updating, its master plan. And I think that is those opportunities where really setting the right tone and really reaching out and engaging people is critically important.
Do I understand that issue, which is basically that as healthy as the shoreline is, that's as healthy as the surrounding ecology is?
Yeah, I think, you know, that it's interesting, you know, that Michael, in Chelan County, as I'm sure you know, that much of the upland areas, particularly up valley, are publicly owned. But it's a private land, so a lot of them are along the shorelines there. So it's a very delicate balance that needs to be made there to meet the mandates of the state and the federal government, but also to make sure that our private property rights are very well protected, and we need to really have the county really at the forefront of that to make sure that our citizens' needs are very well addressed. And so a shoreline master plan is a very good example of where we really need to have a strong and engaged county commission to really make sure that the needs of the community are well met.
Do you think the shoreline owners on the private land understand the intricacies of the idea of a healthy shoreline?
I think some people do have a pretty good understanding, but I think that really it is the best thing we need to do is really rely upon really good science as far as where the critical areas are and what can be done to protect them and to really come up with that balance that really meets the needs of our communities and our landowners and our growers to make sure that property rights are very well respected. I think that is absolutely critical.
Now, you mentioned the cannabis issue. It's a new law in a lot of states, and a lot of states that have just legalized marijuana, the use of marijuana,
right at the front of that,
have gotten off on the wrong foot in a community or two.
Unfortunately, yes.
Is that our case here?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's one of the things, you know, with Initiative 502 that was passed by the voters in the state of Washington. It is state law that cannabis growing is illegal, and so there were many good growers, investors that came into our community operating in good faith and establishing their farms and their growing operations there. And but then again, we do have county rules and restrictions related to that. And so it's a very difficult situation right now because we have the state law, the federal law, and the county ordinances, they're all not in alignment with each other. And that makes for a very difficult, untenable situation in the long run.
I guess that could have been avoided, but now we have to avoid it after fact.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, as a commissioner, I would certainly be willing to look at the county ordinances related to that right now and the moratorium and to come up with some solution that best meets the needs of the growers and the adjacent property owners to make sure everybody's needs to the best available ability can be met. It's a difficult situation, but we'll work on it.
There's a standoff currently between the growers, the marijuana industry, I guess, locally, and the commission in terms of a lawsuit, yes?
Yes, there is. And so, you know, that going into it, it makes for a very difficult situation right now. But, you know, I've been in situations where, as I said, you know, the PUDs and the tribes were in lawsuits in situations. And for that matter, the county governments, Chelan County was in lawsuits with the Yakima Nation on specific issues previously. And we've entered into those and we're able to get our way through those through negotiation and to be able to come up with a long-range solution where they're working together. And so, by golly, I'm not too sure if that can be done with the growers in the county right now, but it's sure worth a try.
Do you think it might be a different environment with the new commission seats?
It could be. Again, it comes back to setting the tone and seeing what we can do to address the issue, to listen to the needs of the growers, to listen to the needs of the adjacent landowners, to listen to anybody that has ideas or thoughts or concerns. It was the County Commissioner Esther Stefanu way back when that said, if you think you are a stakeholder, then you are a stakeholder.
Good point.
And so I think that's the attitude I'd like to take, to really make sure that we listen to everybody's needs.
And that's a good question. It's my next one. Part of our county is rural, very rural.
Yes.
Part of it's packed with people.
Yes.
Everybody wants representation. Everybody wants a favor. Everybody wants consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets left out in that? Is it always the rural population that gets left behind? Is it always the more industrial size, real estate people, the corporations mm-hmm. that get the attention? Or does that have to be that way?
It's often the quiet ones that don't get represented,
uh-huh.
for sure. And so that is certainly the commission has got a very full plate, and I totally recognize that. It's being a commissioner is indeed a very demanding job. But it is really imperative that the commissioner sets up an environment for those folks that do have concerns, have an opportunity to come in and to be able to share those concerns. And to the best of one's ability, a commissioner would then try to address that.
We'll talk about addressing that and how the commission votes right after these words. Bob Boogert is our guest. He's candidate for Chelan County Commission position number 2. This is The Agenda. I'm Michael Knight on News Radio 560. KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Get tuned in and
both Kevin and with Doug. And I know very confidently that I can work well with the two of them right now. That'd be Kevin Overbay at Commission 1 and Doug England in Commission 3.
So there are items before the commission that they've maybe come to some agreement on, and that's going to change when the new commission sits. So how does the transition work, do you think?
How does the transition work? Well, I think there will be lots of opportunities. There is certainly Keith Gaynor, whom I respect quite a bit, and I are in agreement on many issues, so I think that will be consistent. But there are a lot of things that I'd like to try different approaches for. Probably the biggest thing that I would really like to focus on is to really strengthen the partnership between the county and the other local governments. That would be the cities, that would be the port district, and that would be the public utility district, to really see if we can get a really high level of coordination and cooperation. And I think, Michael, that in the long run really saves the taxpayers dollars, because if we are all working together for a same common goal, we are much more efficient, we're much more effective, and we use those tax dollars the way taxpayers want them to be spent, and that's efficiently.
And don't you find that a combination of all the government agencies and power holders that you just mentioned have to come together for anything substantive to change?
We do, absolutely. And particularly if we really want to address some of our issues related to growth and to transportation, and to providing those essential public services and infrastructure, yeah, we need to be very well coordinated and have a high level of cooperation and dialogue. And that's really what I'd like to promote.
One of the aspects of our county that needs addressing, and I don't know the answer to it, is housing.
Is housing, exactly.
How are we going to get started on that, going in the right direction?
I think I mentioned previously, Michael, the Our Valley, Our Future process, and I think that is really community planning and processes at its very finest, where it's really grassroots efforts, and to bring those people together that really have ideas and the background and the information really related to do that. And through the Our Valley, Our Future process, they developed the Housing Solutions Work Group, and which was comprised of realtors, developers, appraisers, all those folks that have anything to do with, directly or indirectly, with the housing situation. And they came up with a series of recommendations ranging from permit streamlining to incentives for infilling in our community to really come up with some alternative home designs that would really improve our capability for providing housing that is affordable to our workforce.
And a lot everything's on the drawing board then.
Everything would be on the drawing board. And I met with the Wenatchee Valley College this morning talking about workforce development, because one of the problems is a shortage of skilled laborers.
Which traces right back to housing.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So, and it's a great job opportunities there. Those are good paying, really valued jobs in our community. That would be skilled carpenters, skilled plumbers, skilled electricians, and we just need more, and we need to develop that. And I think it really comes back to partnerships and setting the tone, Michael, as far as getting the cities, the county, the PUD, the port district, the Chamber of Commerce, and something like the Wenatchee Valley College or whomever is needed to really move us together in a common direction, and we're cooperating and making good traction.
You were probably thinking about all these elements before you decided to run. Has your mind changed on some things?
Well, my mind has not changed at all. I still think I've got that same perspective about bringing people together. But the one thing that has changed is that in my dialogue with people in the community, I've just learned so much more. And that has really been gratifying for me, Michael. And it made me even that much more confident that I can really serve our community well by being a county commissioner.
This is the time in the interview where I ask the men and women who have sat in your seat to ask the county for their vote.
Yes, I would indeed respectfully ask the people of Chelan County to consider me, that I have a tremendous amount of experience and a very strong track record of bringing people together to get things done. I am a moderate is very practical, pragmatic, and I believe a fairly competent guy. And my track record shows that. I clearly have a track record of working together with people to find common ground to get things done. And I think that is so crucial in our day and age now, where things are just so divisive. I really want to bring people together and that we can get things done if we work together. So I would appreciate people's vote.
That's Bob Boogert. He's the candidate for Chelan County Commission, position number 2. And we thank you for coming by today, Bob.
Thank you for this opportunity, Mike.
My pleasure. Michael Knight on News Radio 560, KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.